The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous Monday as we prepare to face this week with faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who will help us overcome anything and everything. First up, what do we do when it's raining really hard outside and you don't have a hat or an umbrella? We go to shelter. Going to talk about that next. We examine the prayer of David when he felt restless and distracted. And finally, we review the best way in order to find abundant life. The answer will surprise you because it's in abundant serving.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can reach out to us by texting 214-210-8483. You can also call us at 972-445-0770. We do have a trivia question. I'm going to get to that in a second. It's kind of easy, so I'm kind of feeling like people will be able to get to it right away, but give us a little space to get there. Don't forget, though, any topic is open for conversation. If you want to do a praise report, if you want to have a prayer request, you want to just share something, you got a pop question we may be able to answer, may not be able to answer, do our best. You know, that's all you can do is your best. Here's the bottom line. Well, of course, you do your best, you pray that it's blessed, and you let Jesus take care of the rest. That's what you do. All right, got it? All right. Keep in mind, it's all open because it's not professional radio. We hit our marks. We do a pretty good job hitting the marks. But the professional part, not a chance. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Before we get into anything, let us remind each other, as I just want to say, terrific Tierra, or T, and I have been telling you, told you last week, probably the week before, I think we told them the week before that too, that there will be new news coming up somehow every day in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, 2, 3, 4 months, 2, 3, 4 years, 2, 3, 4 decades, 2, 3, 4 centuries, if there is 2, 3, 4 centuries. Here's the bottom line. There's always going to be something coming up. But you, as a Christian, have to function and exist in a certain place, a certain way, and that's what we call our makeup, our DNA, D standing for draw closer to the Lord, N for never be ashamed, and A, always be ready. Closer to the Lord, never be ashamed, always be ready. That's our DNA as Christians. Before we get to the trivia question, let's just talk real quickly about some of the holidays. Everybody does know, though, I think this Friday, Saturday, it's like the July 4th weekend. Although my son and my daughter-in-law, they had their family in this week, and so we all did a bunch of get-togethers, a couple of different get-togethers with them and with some other family members for some other celebrations. So I think this July 4th, my wife and I have got a really unique plan. Close the doors. Close the shades. Yeah. And then shut off all the phones, turn off all the computers, and watch a movie together like we're in a movie theater. So the coolest thing you could ever do, just in case you're trying to figure out to save you a lot of money. Yeah, see, that's exactly. You get Junior Man served popcorn, and you get licorice. You close all the lights, turn everything down, so just the light from the television, put a movie in, and act like you're at the movie theater. Okay? And if the movie's not good, or if you've seen it and you know the line's coming, then you can pull out a little flashlight and then poke it at your wife and go, hey, do you have a ticket stub? It won't get you far, but it will be funny. I just want to point that out. Holidays, though, today, let's keep in track with what's going on today. Today is camera day. Now that everybody has a phone, everybody has a camera. So it's kind of like a whole different universe. It's National Almond Butter Crunch Day. I'm definitely up for that. International Mud Day. I don't know. What is this? You bring the mud in the house, you're getting in trouble no matter who you are, right?
Exactly.
I mean, how does that, you know? It's Mud Day. What is this?
You know, they make the mud pies like when we were kids.
Yeah.
Yes. It's mud.
Yeah, as long as I make it in the living room. Right?
True. Very okay. True.
Right. It's Waffle Iron Day. It's cool. I like waffles. I'm good for that. And then it's National Hug Holiday. So air hug. Okay. There you go. Let's see. On this day, for those that do want to know, in 1891, the start of the United States National Forest Service began in 1891. In 1937, the snowmobile was invented. In 1968, David, while on the back of a snowmobile with his father, who hit a bump, did a flip, a whole circle in the air, and landed on his face in the snow. I just thought I'd share that with you. I thought you'd find that fascinating. 1995, on this day, for the first time, NASA space shuttle Atlantis docks with the Russian Mir space station. That's kind of interesting. And then for gun enthusiasts, in 1833, the first patent for a revolver was issued to David Colburn of New York. Although the first revolver had been built by John Gill in North Carolina, he didn't get to the patent office in time. That is what happens. Here's our trivia question, then we'll get into our teach. Should be fun. Hope it's good for you. Big first trivia question. Should be easy. Who was the first child born based on scripture? Who was the first child born? Let's give Mark Twain a few props. One thing he did come up with is Adam and Eve escaped quite a few things, mainly teething. See, because they were adults. See, that's fun. Thank you very much. Look at her go. She's ready, man. She's ready. All right, so that's the trivia question. Who was the first child born according to the scripture? Okay, going to leave it there. You're going to have to kind of get an idea there, a little bit of Genesis reviewing there, and that's where you want to check it out. If you want to call us, you can do so. Our number is 972-445-0770. If you want to text us, it's 214-210-8483. Probably trying to figure out why does Dave have so much energy on a Monday? I did work out today again. So I have done now 28 days of working out. 25 days, 14. Yeah, I go every other. And then I go 4 out of 7. So happy about that. Right up until about the last 5 minutes of the run. Somebody should do something about that. that's where the treadmill should automatically kick in for you. So it's more like, you know, just like a walk.
Right. Give it like a warning. Like, yeah. Your 5 minutes is coming.
We're going to help you. And then maybe tilt down or tilt up on the back so that you're running downhill or something. All right. Psalm 46, verse 1 through 2. Let's talk about storms. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, watch this, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Wow. Did you hear that? We are not to be afraid. We will not fear, even if the earth changes and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. I mean, if there's a rearrangement of the Platonic plates and everything structures and mountains start flying, it's like, oh, no, the whole world's ending. It's like, nah, if God is your refuge. Not if God is your strength. I mean, just think about that. Verse 1, refuge. By the way, for those that want to know what a refuge is, it's a shelter in a rainstorm. So some people, I think, would think of a lean-to, you know, where you put up a little, covering, and then you put it against some kind of tree or some kind of rock or something, and then you prop it up with sticks or whatever the case may be. The picture is not incorrect, but the thing to remember is that the Lord is not just a lean-to. He's a fortified lean-to. So it's a really good shelter in the rainstorm. And that's the thing you want to keep in mind, is that during the rains, he is a very present help. He is not a, hey, I'm going to help you, but about 3 weeks from Thursday, I think I can squeeze you into my schedule. Okay, that's how you and I are. Okay, that it. We're good at that. We're good at that, right? However, that is not how God does things. He doesn't check his schedule book. Let me see it. Well, I got to rearrange the, you know, destruction of this city and the, you know, the miracle over here. That's not how that's going, folks. He's a very present help. He's an exceedingly, watch this, an exceedingly current assister. He's right there. He's not, well, when I get around the bend, he'll be there. He's here now and around the bend and before you got on the trail. He's a refuge. He's a shelter in a rainstorm. He's our strength, the fortified tower. By the way, the word strength has to do with fortifying a tower. It has to do with protections and a very present help. Oh, my goodness, we need that. And then verse 2, they preached this in my first year in Bible college. I remember the message because it was so bizarre because people were getting ready to do their finals. And the dean thought, people are freaking out. So he tried to connect that to this passage, which I thought was awesome. He said, though the earth changed, forget about individual problems. This is good for Christian global alarmists. You know, the Christians that are going, well, we are made stewards and everything we do is this, that, whatever. And here's the scripture. It says, hey, you know, even if the mountains slip into the sea, don't got to be afraid. Forget the new heavens and new earth thing for them because they're just looking for a rebandage process. We're not talking about that right now. But if you're a Christian global alarmist, relax. Even if the earth changes, you don't have to be afraid. And now think of that from our human individual perspective. If that's true, if the earth changes, how much more is that true if your life changes? All right. I get it. I mean, you can't miss it. You know, Jesus said, consider the birds, think about the flowers, consider these things. He wants you to make these associations with pictures and with truth. And here's one of the picture truths that come from the psalmist in Psalm 46. Hey, even if the world gets really squishy and weird, don't worry. God's your refuge. He's your strength. If that's the picture association, then you ought to be able to use that for your individual life. Doesn't matter how squishy and weird it gets, the Lord will help. He's there. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Who was the first child born? Why, Cain, according to the scripture. Cain. Okay. All right. Folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord. Giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, he's been good to me.
Doesn't he know there's a lot of cholesterol in lard? I'm losing it here. What? The lard? What is that guy? Where is he from?
The David Spoon Experience.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, if you want to get some of our intro and exit music for free, livinginhisgrip.com is a great way to go about that. I've been working on, so many of you know I'm just working in school, so I'm working on my new alphabet. I came across a really good alphabet rhyme for the Hebrew alphabet, right? So, I mean, that's kind of, you know. You know, I'm working up the nerve to share it with you because I just came across it like a day ago.
So you can do it. Let's hear it.
You know, it's like it goes, alphabet, alphabet, Gilmel Dolladay, Gilmel Dolladay, Vav, you know, Vav, yeah, let's see, Vav Zion, Vav Zion. Okay, people are like going, what is wrong with that guy? Everything. I was dropped on my head. Well, actually, I dropped myself on my head. That's besides the point. You know, you can reach out to us.
That's all I had to do. I had to find a rhyme on YouTube. I wrote the professor, can I use any rhyme? He's like, sure.
You can reach us 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483 is the text. 972-445-0770 is the phone number. Good job on that last one that everybody did. Here's the next one that we're going after. What is the name of Jesus's cousin born 6 months before him? Remember, it's Monday. We're working people into this. What does the name of Jesus's cousin born 6 months before Jesus? What was his name? You can text 214-210-8483. You can call 972-445-0770. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. So over the weekend, I added, there were sermons there. And then Jason, somebody who listens to our show, sent me he did a donation thing, but put in the donation thing, the sermons probably should have like some titles. I thought that's probably a good idea. He's right. So there's six sermons in there. They all have titles, and they're not the only sermons I have, obviously, but they're up there. And if you ever want to listen to them, you're welcome to. There's also, if you look closely, plans for a Battlestar are on the website. And then I told you there was one other add-on that nobody caught. Can I tell you what it is? Do you want to know what it is? It's the kitchen sink. There's a kitchen sink up there. I mean, it's just like, you got to look, folks. You got to look. Okay. Go to hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Today, by the way, is the 29th. We got two more days in regards to June for giving. Not for forgiving as in forgiveness of sins, but for you to be giving. And in the ministry, we need some of that. We don't need a ton of that. But we need some of that. So if you're able to give, we ask you to do so. If you're not financially able to contribute, then we ask you to be praying for the ministry, especially if it's given you anything or been a blessing for you. Just that simple. Just make it good. If you're going to give, you're advancing. We believe you're advancing the kingdom of God. You're sowing into the kingdom. We'll give you a receipt at the end of the year because we're 100% tax deductible, but we're not going to give you anything like an apple pie. That's not happening. Email david@hemustincrease.org. hemustincrease.org or David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Again, the question, keeping it simple, for those who want to call in and or text, what is the name of Jesus' cousin born 6 months before him? Let's get ready to get into our next little teach. This is out of Psalm 55, verses 2 and 3. Listen to what this says. This is pretty important. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressures of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me. Now, the rest of the psalm goes on, and you find there's deliverance. As every psalm out of the 150 psalms, every psalm ends more on a positive note, except for one. I'd almost be tempted to say, I'll give you a dollar if you can find it, but I'll just wait. But the idea is to understand that David, when he's communicating, or any of the psalmists when they're communicating, are not writing in the theological mindset. The psalms are – a psalm is a song. And so what they're doing is they're writing out of the creative element of their heart, and they're pouring out their feelings and pouring out their moments that they go through. And one of the things that we come across in Scripture, which is something that we should understand, is that there are times where you come before the Lord and we feel restless. I mean, have you ever – I mean, I'm just asking you, just do an inventory. Have you ever felt uncomfortable? Have you ever gone into a situation, gone into a meeting, gone into a party, gone into a place, gone into a scenario, and you just couldn't get the settle? You just couldn't. I just can't find this. I just don't feel comfortable. Paul mentioned this when he said, I went to this one place and I had no peace of mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, 12, and 13, when he was towards trials, he said, I was looking for Timothy. I couldn't settle. I have no peace of mind. So I left. Now watch, this will blow your mind. It was even an open door from the Lord. The Lord didn't restrict him not to go, but he got there, couldn't settle in. There are times where we feel that restlessness. And let me tell you something, that can become very distracting. And so what David did, instead of being weird about it, is he brought that distraction to the Lord. And he said, I'm not settled, and I'm really distracted by this, and this is gnawing at me. That's a great picture right there, gnawing at you. I mean, T, have you ever gone there where something was just gnawing at you, just like, oh, this is just driving me batty?
All the time.
I mean, so you go through that, and then you bring that. You don't just ignore that. You bring that, and you lay that at the Lord's feet, and you say, man, this is kind of driving me a little nutty here, okay? And so you think, man, I don't like it. And then he says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, they're bringing down trouble upon me. So he's not just unsettled, but then he's got spiritual warfare. Now, let's just have this moment where we all talk to each other. Oh, by the way, I owe Joy a dollar. She got it right. It was Psalm 88. Good job, Joy. That is Bible thinking right there. So listen, though, he gets to this point where he's like, look, I'm restless about this thing. I've got a complaint here. It's really distracting at me. It's gnawing at me. And then I got the voice of the enemy dropping on my head. And then I got the pressure of the wicked. And I'm like, what's that song? It goes, trouble, 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 trouble. There's a song like that. And it's like, yeah, that's it right there. Ding, 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 ding. Whoever's saying that, okay, I don't know that. But that's the whole idea. It's like, yeah. And that can be annoying. That can be irritating. So what is it you got to do? What is it you got to do when you've got restlessness inside of you? You're distracted. So your mind is like, you know where your mind's supposed to be, but it gets pulled to the side. Right? And then the voice of the enemy, and the voice of the enemy comes through the world. It comes through your flesh. It comes from the enemy. Okay, it comes from Satan himself. There's a whole theology that says, oh, Satan, he's way too busy to try and disrupt individual saints. Well, that's just completely anti-biblical. It's the stupidest thing ever. Scripture is extremely clear. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, yeah, no.
Okay, that's my response there. So the devil, his whole mission in life is to try and cause as much disruption as he can. So you got the voice of the enemy coming through a multitude of places, and then you have the pressure of the world trying to make you to conform or to do what they want or to acknowledge their political correctness, which is simply a substitute for the righteousness of Jesus Christ that comes through Jesus Christ alone. Have you ever noticed that the world's whole theory here in political correctness is to make it right and fair for everybody, kind of across the board, which ultimately leads to more confusion than anybody could ever figure out. You look at it, you go, what? And people in the political correct realm eat themselves. They eat their own. It's so bizarre. And it's like none of that matters. It's only man trying to substitute the righteousness of Christ. That's it. And that's why it's so confusing, because it's a work of the flesh motivated by Satan, distributed by the world. And the pressures of the world come on. You got trouble, and you got trouble, and trouble. It's like, oh, trouble. You take that trouble, you take that distraction, you take that restlessness, you take that churning that's going on inside of you. You acknowledge that before the Lord. You acknowledge the voice of the enemy's coming against you. You acknowledge the pressure of the world. You bring it before the Lord, and you go, this is trouble, 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 and you are the answer, answer, answer. And I need help. And somebody, I've actually met people like this. I've met people, talked with them. I mean, you have to be careful how you do it. They're like, you only pray once, and then you just always, you always think. Really? Jesus didn't do that. So, no. There, that gives us another no. No, we're not doing that, right? I mean, Jesus in the garden, back. It's like, look. I really want to make sure we understand. Yeah, that's what you do. And if you really look at the Greek word that has to do with the woman and the judge, that Greek word where she was going after the judge and kept knocking on the door and kept saying, serve me justice, that word in the Greek is annoy. That's why I'm so good at it. It's Yiddish all the way. So the idea is for you to understand, you pursue. Because that restlessness, that distractedness, that voice of the enemy, that pressure, that trouble is allowed, but is God still serves a purpose to drive you somewhere, and it's to drive you into the hands, into the arms of the Lord. That's the whole point. This is all about hanging with the Lord. It's never, you're never, ever going to find it to be different. That is going to be the key on all things. Points to God. That's the answer, okay? Points to God. Quite simple, quite straightforward. What is the name of Jesus' cousin, or who was Jesus' cousin born 6 months before him? That was Johnny B., Johnny the Baptist. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Yeah. All of mankind,
destroying everyone and everything we find. Hey. Here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Hot topics.
So listen to this. So Jesus in one passage says, judge not or you'll be judged. In another passage, he says, judge ye righteous judgment. That's the King James Version. I like the ye. Judge ye right. So there's two different judgments going on here. One's okay, one's not okay. Okay? How does that work? Again, one is a condemnation, the other an observation, an evaluation, and a determination.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry.
What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So I want to let you know a couple things. Great job by Joy, by the way, nailing down that Psalm 88 out of the 150 Psalms. It's the only Psalm that ends on the downside. So one of the things that you may not know, it's superbly fascinating, and if you like this stuff, I encourage you to look into it. But the Psalms are broken up into five books, book one, book two, book three, book four, book five. If you follow the process of how the books go, you'll find out that God's a lot more at work than you might think about than just people splitting it up, as it is almost, and it's pretty much an exact portrait of Israel. In one place, knowing God, then going down, then coming back up. That's why the Psalms in the 140s and 50s are all praise, because it's all redemption. But I do want to say something about that Psalm 88. So 88 and 89 are the last two Psalms in the end of book three. This is the last line of Psalm 89. I want you to hear this. It says, "The darkness is my closest friend." Okay, so for those that are a little bit more in tune with older songs, I will give you the line from the famous song, "Hello, darkness, my old friend." Okay, that song by Simon and Garfunkel, that line comes out of Psalm 88, verse 18. How about that? Remember the other song, "Time"? You know, there's a, you know, "Do everything and turn and turn and turn. You know, time to do." That's Ecclesiastes 3. You'd be amazed how many things in your arts and crafts arena of life are much more biblically oriented than you know, even so much as to say that there are things in Star Wars that does the exact same thing. So I just thought I'd throw that in your direction. Just some stuff for you guys to be aware of. Let's look at the ways to get in touch with us. That's 214-210-8483 is the text. 972-445-0770. That is how you get in touch with us. Here is the next question. Which king dreamed of a large statue of a man made from different metals? And again, if these are things you know, you answer. You send in the text or you call in. If you don't know, this is the kind of stuff you listen to. Who was that? because this is another way to learn the Bible. People need to know the word, and we're really committed to that process. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Our email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our ministry partner. Well, we're moving on. Men of God Moving, and our good friend Johnny Hill. Just want to give a shout out to Johnny. We love Johnny. He hasn't been able to come back into the studio. We're trying to work that out, but as you know, in Dallas, things are up, things are down, and then if you're the owner of the station, you have liability, you want to be really careful. And so as soon as he can get back in here safely, he will. Maybe we'll just put him in a moon suit and have him come in that way. That could work out. But if you are moving in any capacity, left, right, north, south, doesn't matter. If you are moving in from or into an apartment, a house, an office building, it doesn't matter if it's large, small, regardless, Johnny will help you out, menofgodmoving.com, and he will give you a deep discount because of you mentioning the show. That will help you out quite a bit. And you can always connect to him through hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Okay? Okay, so again, our trivia question, for those that don't know, there was a dream, and a king had a dream about a large statue of a man made from different metals. Who was that? Okay, I probably shouldn't use the word man, but it was in a man-like capacity, but that was it. It's probably the one that you thought it was initially, but I'll wait to see who wants to try and respond to it. And go from there. Let me give you something out of a Ray Bentley devotional. So I want to use Ray's devotional. I want to give him credit for some of the things. He does not write every single word of these. He will take different portions and different authors and combine them. But he really seems to be keyed in the Holy Spirit on some of the timings that he brings forward. So let me read this one to you that was recently sent to me. And again, this is Ray Bentley. He's the senior pastor of Maranatha Chapel in Escondido, California. He's got a devotional book. Plus, he's got a whole series of books. If you type in Pastor Ray Bentley, you'll find he does a lot more writing than I do. Although when I'm done, I'm going to go, call me Dr. Ray. Anyhow, all right, here's what it wrote. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. Acts 26:15-16. Appointed a servant. From the beginning of Apostle Paul's encounter with Jesus, his role in life was defined. We know him as an apostle, an evangelist, a persuasive speaker, a brave believer willing to risk persecution, pain, and death for the cause of Christ. But first and foremost, Paul was a servant. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Many of us have eternal life, but do we have abundant life? Let me stop and do a quick insert. This is where the prosperity gospel moves off target, because to them, abundant life means that you're wealthy or that there's all these abundant things. But that's not the quality of life Jesus really talked about. Let's go back to his devotional. In teaching his disciples how to live an abundant life, Jesus taught two powerful lessons. Love one another, serve one another. When some people think of a servant, they don't think of somebody they love, but of somebody who does something because he or she is forced to. It's an obligation or a job or a forced service thrust upon weak, oppressed people. But Jesus said, I want to show you a different kind of servant, one who serves by choice and with love. Without love, service is merely fulfilling a duty. Without love, service eventually sours into resentments and bitterness. It takes strength to serve with love. It takes strength of faith, strength of character, strength of mind. Never make the mistake of equating servanthood with weakness. Jesus was a servant, and he was the most powerful being to ever walk this earth. Being a servant truly is being the greatest in God's kingdom. This is what Martin Luther wrote. A Christian man is the most free Lord of all and subject to none. A Christian man is the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone. But it's by choice. And this is where you have oppression, that is absurdity. You have political decisions which try to force Christian behavior or Christ-like behaviors, which is absurdity. All of these decisions that we make as Christians, as believers, are supposed to be choices that we make in the kingdom of God. Now, you're going to serve somebody. You might not like it. You're going to either serve the Lord, or you're going to serve the devil, or you're going to serve the world, or you're going to serve your flesh, which is just the same as saying that you're God. But Bob Dylan wasn't wrong when he wrote the song. You got to serve somebody. It might be the devil and it might be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. In some capacity, even if it's yourself, you're going to serve. The premise of this devotional to be understood is that the abundant, great life that God promises us is that when we lose the need to be godlike, then we find the purpose of our creation not to be godlike, but to be in fellowship with God. When we stop thinking that the center of the universe is us, and don't tell me that you never think that. Just don't do it. Just don't do that. There are often times that we think our universe we're in the center and everything revolves around us, and we have God in one spot and this in another spot and work in another spot and relationships in another spot and money in another spot and food in another spot and fun in another. But come on, I mean, just be honest. Just like what the Lord is trying to get us to do is to stop that. Why? Because when we have the universe surrounding us and we're at the center, then we are like God and it gets messy. What happened when Adam and Eve thought they could be like God? Here's the devil. Oh, just eat this fruit, man. Just eat this fruit. You'll be like God. Everything will be great. Guess what happened? They got kicked out. that's the lesson. Okay, let's not do that then. We can do better than that, right? So instead of striving for a spotlight, we should strive to the light. And that light is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Instead of trying to be the focus of everything, when we lose ourselves in Christ, not just lose yourselves, period, lose yourselves in Christ, that is when you truly find yourself because you connect to the purpose of your creation. Until then, it's just going to keep gnawing and gnawing and gnawing like a gopher that's got a good piece of wood and ain't going to let it go. Got to let these things take place and let the Creator bring fulfillment to the creation. Okay? I think that's reasonable. So something that we should understand. Which king dreamed about a large statue of a man made from different metals? That king's name was Nebuchadnezzar, also known as Nebi. We call him Nebi. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, right. This is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him. And he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483, or you can call 972-445-0770. I find that teaching that we just came off of, I find that to be so fascinating, because I think what people think is, you know, we're born and we die, so we're what we call linear beings, point of beginning, point of ending. And God is an interlinear being existing in all times, because he actually existed before there was time, which is a whole nother, you know, well, I don't even know what you're talking about, Dave. But I find that he would know every alternate path, every alternate universe, every alternate possible scenario. So when you made a decision, like Tara, to work at the station, he knew what would have happened if you did not make that decision. But then he also knows what's going to happen because you did make that. It's like, it doesn't matter what the path is. he knows. The only people that don't know is us. And God's not telling. I mean, I'm just, you know, the Lord knows. It's a famous line by Gene Edwards. The Lord knows. He's just not telling. That's right. So, and by the way, you've been doing a great job. So I appreciate all the sound effects that you've been doing. So good job. Keep it up. Call into us. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Here is the last trivia question of the day. This is a little harder, but not too much. Which disciple who was described as full of grace and power and doing great wonders and signs among the people, which disciple that had that description was stoned? And we're not talking about smoking doobies, okay? Which disciple was known? Which disciple described as full of grace and power and doing great wonders and signs among the people? If you know, you can text or you can call in, 972-445-0770. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. If you send it to an older email, it still gets me. Every single email I have forwards to one place. Almost everything I have forwards to one place. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. I'm trying to think if there's anything specific to tell you guys. You got the July 4th weekend. Everybody needs to be safe and careful. I mean, do you, let me just ask T real quick, just because I'm going to bug her. Do you like of the fireworks? Is the fireworks something that's like, or is it like,
I just like the barbecue. I'm just big on food. So I'm just happy that we're going to barbecue and eat ribs. Oh, ribs.
I know. Ribs are just unbelievable. I mean, I love ribs. That's so true. It's so sad how much I like stuff like that. I can't wait to get to heaven because there I think you get to eat all that food and then there's no calories. Going back
exactly.
to, I mean, whether or not we're going to have food there or not, I sure hope so. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Van.
Hi, brother. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing really good, and I'm really blessed, I've been trying to work out a little bit more, so I get a little bit more energy. That's what I need on this radio show. That's what I need: more energy.
Yeah, really.
Which was the disciple described full of grace and power, doing great wonders and signs among the people, but then got stoned? Who was that?
That was me, Stephen.
That is correct, sir. I have a feeling you knew that right away, and he's considered the first martyr, technically the first martyr of the church in regards to the book of Acts. There's a possibility that it could have been some other activity, but nothing recorded, and so if it's not recorded, you go with what you got, and so he would get that designation. Do you remember what happened just before he passed? Do you remember what he saw?
Let me see.
Think about what he saw. So he got stoned just before he passed. He had kind of like a glimpse of something.
Yeah, I think he had a glimpse of heaven.
Right. He could see Jesus at the right hand of the Father. He could see, and what's amazing is this guy gave up his life, but he could still see in faith right to the end. Still, and then with that faith, God gave him the revelation of what he's really coming to. Really cool.
Yes.
Really awesome. Excellent job, my brother. Thank you.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay.
God
bless you.
Bless you.
All right. Love it. I love it. You know, the people texting in, get people calling in. So, yeah, they know. But you see, you want to know. You want to keep these things in mind. You want to keep these things in the forefront of your thinking. And for as much as we all want to hear the trumpet fly away, the longer it goes, the more I feel the need to make sure everybody's just ready. Just be ready. I want to zip away too. Just don't do it. But in the meantime, we're not going to hide in the corner. We're going to be the lights that we're called to be. All right. Psalm 69. Yeah, I kind of, you know, focused in on Psalms today. Psalm 69, verse 29 through 30 says this, "But I am afflicted in pain and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving." So there are people that are in the Christian realm, and you even may be one of them, who says, well, you don't really sing praises to the Lord when you're going through the yuck. Okay, well, so here's what David said. "But I am afflicted and in pain." I just consider that yuck. I don't, you know, afflicted and in pain. You think, well, it's a physical affliction. Maybe. We know the pain part's probably physical. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's afflicted in pain and another. I don't know. Here's what I know. "May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high." So he's looking to God for hope. "In the meantime, until that comes, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving." So even though David had afflictions, even though there was pain, there was still the commitment to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise in song. Nothing makes a change of atmosphere faster than when it's silent or when it's dark. I don't know if you've ever been to a hospital, but sometimes you go in there and it's like, you know, you can just almost sense it's like, yikes, there's a lot of stuff going on here. But nothing changes that quicker than a worship song, the music, than something that's uplifting. It just changes the air. You can't deny it. People are like, that's physiologically impossible. Yeah, well, so is the bumblebee, but tell it to the bumblebee. So the bottom line is stuff like that don't matter. What matters is that what David caught was, look, God is on our side. I am in these things, but therefore I will. So he says, I will praise the Lord. I will magnify him. I will sing a song to the name of the Lord. It's blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens. The God who is our salvation is what Psalm 68:19 says. God daily bears our burdens. He knows what these pains are. He knows what these discomforts are. But our decision of wisdom is regardless of how the circumstance looks, there is my Savior who cares and knows how it will end. I mean, just think about some of these things that we talk about. You know, give us this day our daily bread. We know that there's a daily element with the Lord, and God is with us daily. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden. That's Psalm 68:19. In fact, Psalm 68:20 says, God is to us a God of deliverances. Our God delivers us from these things. And so pre-praise is just faith in action. It's just faith saying he's coming. It's coming. The deliverance is coming. His grace is coming. His relief from my affliction and healing from my pain is coming. So I'm going to praise him because I know he's faithful and true. I know I can count on him. I know I can rely on the Lord. And I understand that there's people that struggle with that. I appreciate that. It's not something that I do swiftly, quickly, or any of those things. But you cannot deny throughout Scripture how evident it is that people praised God in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of all the things that they encountered. Before the walls fell, they were, you know, they were marching around and praising, right? Before Jehoshaphat knew how it would end, when he said, I don't know what to do. That's what he said. He goes, I don't know what to do. But the one thing he did, what is he set about the worship leaders to sing songs while they were encountering their situation before there was deliverance. Why? Because that expresses trust. When you look to the Lord and you say, it's really tough, it's really hard, and it really hurts. But I'm going to thank you because you have always been faithful, you always are faithful, and you always will be faithful. So I'm going to praise you because I believe you will be faithful in this. Now, do you think God appreciates that you respond that way? You bet. In fact, one of his biggest complaints about Israel, they didn't appreciate him. And that caused more than a few problems. It caused them to be carried away as a nation. It's like, yeah. So all the stuff that we got going on, all the attitudes, all the dispositions, let me tell you one that everybody better hang on to, and that's this attitude, this disposition, this approach of praise and thanksgiving and singing to the Lord and honoring the Lord and recognizing the Lord. But I am afflicted in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. It's a decision. It's a decision. Okay. I didn't realize we were that late. That's my fault. And the answer, of course, was Stephen. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Talk to you tomorrow.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.